Thank you very much, Rabbi Union. Again, it's a pleasure to join you. Even the give and take during lunch is something that I very, very much enjoy. The second shir is a related topic to Lifnei Iver, and that of the mitzvah of Tochacha. The Torah presents, of course, that Hocheach Tochiach Es Amisecha, but we all know from our personal experience that even though at times we're quite well-intended, we engage in Tochacha with the hope of really changing the lifestyle of those individuals who we're speaking to, it is not always the case. That sometimes our Tochacha simply, right, is not followed, and sometimes, Rachman Litzlan, quite counterproductive. And sometimes that balance, in fact, is necessary of exactly knowing when to be mochiach. The Rambam, in fact, writes that sometimes that halamas ayin min ha'over mitzvah, that sometimes the best thing to do simply is to walk away as though something goes unnoticed. And we're all called upon to make that determination of whether this is an appropriate opportunity for tochacha, or whether, in fact, it is not. I had mentioned, Rabbi Hira Chassid writes that inappropriate tochacha is an example of this adaraisa of lifnei ivra lo sitein michshol. Sometimes as a result of our tochacha, not bettering the situation at all, but rather making the situation more grievous, making it far worse. There seems to be the Rishonim are bothered by a stira between various Gemaras. On the one hand, the Gemara tells us Nivamos and Av Samachei Mudbeis that Keshem Shemitzvah al Ha'adam Lomar Davar Hanishma, that just as it's a mitzvah for a person to speak up when you know that one will pay heed to his words, that Kach Mitzvah al Ha'adam Shalo Lomar Davar She'eno Nishma. Sometimes it's a mitzvah simply to be silent. The best thing we can do simply is to walk away without engaging in that element of tochacha. And apparently the Gemara seems to convey that before a person engages in tochacha, one has to assess the effect of his words. Will it or will it not be productive? And if a person will reach that determination that his words will have ill effect or being counterproductive, maybe that is the application of the Gemara of mitzvah shalo lomar davar she'eno mishnah. What's somewhat difficult is the sugin erchin and aftezayin asks us that ad heichan mitzvah tochacha. How far exactly does it go? How much do I have to constantly pursue that individual who is engaged in that which I see is inappropriate? Rav says, for example, that ad kedei haka, that a person has to pursue another individual literally until he's about to hit you. And Shmuel maintains ad kedei klala, Rabbi Yochanan ad kedei nezifa, details in terms of shiurim, whether he is going to curse me, he'll rebuke me, he's going to lash out against me. That is the extent of the mitzvah of tochacha. And at first glance, it sounds almost as though that these two sugyas don't seem to go hand in hand. If it's a mitzvah al ha'adam shalo lomar davar she'eino nishma, so what exactly, for example, is the Rav Shita of Ad Kedei Haka? The Rambam Perek Vav Hilchos Deos Paskins, like Rav, against Shmuel, against Rabbi Yochanan. It means the person is about to curse me, but still I have to give him tochacha. The only time I stop is the Rav Shir of Ad Kedei Haka. Isn't that a good indicator that this is a davar she'eino nishma? And as such, how is it that one would resolve the issue that indeed the Gemara is raising? If you look further at the Sugyan Beit Sandaf Lama Namad Aleph, that's where the Gemara discusses, for example, the mitzvah of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara tells us the mitzvah beginning Yom Kippur early certainly is indeed a mitzvah daraisa. And the Gemara questions that there were individuals who were not at all careful about Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Tosus is quite bothered. They observed Yom Kippur, but they didn't observe Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. It's not so easy exactly to envision how that's possible. After all, Tosus writes that Yefshel Litzamtzem, you can't eat and do malacha under the wire until the exact moment that Yom Kippur arrives. Rashi writes HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to do so. Vayichalokim bayom hashvi. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu shayudei ita v'ragav. Knows exactly when Friday ends, when Shabbos begins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoves bimalacha. But as Rashi writes, Basav Adam, we have to engage in Tosefes Shabbos. The Tosefes is somewhat bothered. How is it that a person can be meticulous about Dinei Shabbos, about Dinei Yom HaKippurim, but somehow fail short to fulfill the mitzvah Tosefes. That's where Tosfos writes that you see that Tosefes necessarily must have a shear, even though the Balei HaTosfos writes they're not sure what that shear is. The Gemara never mentions a shear, but there must be a shear, because after all, the safety net that normally a person would give himself is not enough in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Tosefes. There is, in fact, a Ritva, Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes, that writes that Tosefes is not fulfilled just b'shev al tasa, sitting back and doing nothing. The fact that you're concerned that maybe it's already close to Shkia and you don't do Malacha, the Ritva writes that's not enough for Tosefes. Tosefes requires an active form of a Kabbalah Sayom, not just simply Shvisa mi Malacha b'shev al tasa. But that's the case that the Gemara mentions, one who is not very careful about Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And here the Gemara tells us the principle of Mutav Sheishogegin Va'al Yehu Mizidin. The first question to ask is, why is it that the person is not meticulous about this particular mitzvah? Why is it that they are violating this given Avera? If it is done b'shogeg, then a person has to assess what will the effect of the tochacha be. If as a result of my admonition a person is going to continue to do so, now not do so b'shogeg, but continue to do so b'mezid. So the Gemara writes that the result of my tochacha, that's Rabbi Rachas's example of lifnei iver. It hasn't made the person into a greater tzaddik, but rather into a greater rasha. Such counterproductive tochacha, that's when we assume that mutiv sheishogin v'ayuhu mezidin. So it is clear in the Gemara that this is not limited to dinim derabanan. The Gemara writes explicitly, it applies even to Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara writes an example, a model of which is a mitzvah min HaTorah. If you look, however, at the Rishonim, and that's Sugyan Beitza and Daf Lamed, they do qualify somewhat, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Tafrei Shches. Why did the Gemara give you an example of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim? If the Gemara wanted to tell us that Mutiv Sheishogin Al Yimizidin could apply to Dinin Daraisa, why such a model? Couldn't there have been many more common models? That's what the Rishonim point out, that yes, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is a mitzvah Daraisa, but it is not Mufurish Bekra. It's a drasha. It's a drasha. This is what we call Torah Shebal Peh, as opposed to that which is Mufurish Bechsav. There's a comment the Prima Gadim has in the very beginning of the Psicha HaKolelis, where the Prima Gadim writes that not all dinim drabanan and not all dinim daraisa are of equal weight. There is a hierarchy of dinim daraisa and dinim drabanan. And even that which is a din daraisa, there is a marked difference between that which is Mufurish Bichsav, Torah Shebichsav, as opposed to that which is Torah Shebal Peh. We often express the difference. Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh. Prima Gadim writes seven nafkaminas lahalacha between Torah Shebichsav as opposed to Torah Shebal Peh. And he cites as a fascinating makar the Sugyan Gittin Daf Samach Amud Beis, Machlokas Rabin Rabbi Yochanan, whether Rov Torah is Bichsav or whether Rov Torah is Bal Peh. Hard to imagine such a machlokas. Isn't it obvious that Rov Torah is Alpeh? Rov Torah is not Torah Shebichsav? So the Prima Gadim writes, if you look in Rashi, Rashi writes, Rov Torah are drushos. Drushos. And the question is as follows, which drushos are Torah Shebichsav? And which drushos are Torah Shebalpeh? We have Yud Gimel Midos, but not every Midah is equally as explicit. You know the Rambam, the very beginning of Hilchos Ishus, the Rambam writes that shtar, like bia, is midaraisa, and kesef is midivrei sofrim. How do you know kesef kedushin? Gzeira shava. And how is it that you know shtar, a hekesh? One thing you see clearly according to the Rambam, there's a difference between a hekesh and a gzeira shava. A hekesh is mefurish bekra, the Rambam terms that daraisa. And a gzeira shava, the Rambam terms, that which is midivrei sofrim, even though they're both part of yidgal midos, shatar nidreshes bahem, but nonetheless, as Prima Gadim writes, a hierarchy of that which you find. Differences between drashos as opposed to that which is mufurish bekra. And the possibility, this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Tafreshches, that if it would be a din daraisa which is mufurish bekra, maybe then we would not apply the principle of mutiv sheishogin voyuhim izidin. It applies to Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, That's a drasha, drasha daraisa, but a drasha, the sugin yumandaf peyalaf mudbeis, binisim isnaf shoseichem, basisha lachodesh ba'erev. Why does the Torah tell us that Yom Kippur is on the 9th of Tishrei ba'erev as opposed to the 10th of Tishrei? So that's what the Gemara says, that mikan shemosifin mechol ala kodesh. So a drasha, even if it's daraisa, that's when we assume that mutiv sheishol genayu mezidin. There is, however, a very important comment of Raman Darki Moshe, and that's Simin in Tafrei Shches, where the Darki Moshe writes as follows: why is there such a difference between that which is mufurish bekra as opposed to eno mufurish bekra when it comes to mutiv sheishol genayu mezidin? Maybe one could have said, oh, the prima gadim, as I just mentioned, it's more chamor. The Raman writes, not because it's more chamor, but rather because if something is mufurish bekra, the assumption was in the Rama's time or the Darki Moshe that the person is not really doing so b'shogeg. It's mufurish bekra, it's black and white. The person is a real shogeg. An assumption that there was a body of knowledge that was commonly shared, and if something is black and white in Chumash, that was known. It was a known expectation. You know, maybe for us it's true of Aseres HaDibros, maybe. Right? Aseres HaDibros is something that's universal, but many dinim daraisa, which certainly we could honestly say that individuals are doing so b'shogeg, and the possibility, according to the Rama, then to apply the principle of mutav sheishogin v'ayuhu mezidin, even in that circumstance as well. But the Gemara writes that without any machlokis, if a person is doing so b'shogeg, before you open your mouth, one has to assess what will the impact of the tochacha be. Realize that inappropriate tochacha, that could result in an absolute michshon. The question, of course, is as follows, that what if the person knows better? What if this is being done b'mezid? What exactly is my obligation of tochacha? Would I apply a similar principle of amutav sheishogegin va'ayuhu mezidin? In fact, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes that there's mezid and there's mezid with hasra. Mezid with hasra is also more chamur. So a person is doing some mezid. So I'm going to go over to him and warn him expressly. Don't you know that that's Chilul Shabbos and there's an Isser Skila to do? And now we'll continue. Maybe that's also a degree of a mutav sheishogin v'ayu mezidim, intensifying his awareness that this is something which is absolutely usur. That's less clear. If a person is violating the mezid, do we assume that we can apply the principle similar to mutav sheishogin, that, you know, a person has to be aware of the impact of his tochacha, and if it'll be counterproductive or really even ineffective, then there is no mitzvah satochacha? Or do I argue that's not true? What is driving the mitzvah of tochacha is making a macha. I see a person is doing something wrong, I have to defend kavod shamayim. My defense of kvod shamayim is to state to the person, you should realize that which you are doing is against the Torah Hashem, knowing very well that it is not going to alter in any shape or form his deed, his performance, but it's my obligation simply to state that I object to that particular practice. So that's where you have to balance those sugyas. That Gemara in Yevamos Samachei of Mitzvah Al Hodam Shalol Lomar Damar Shino Nishma, as opposed to the Sugin Erechin Ad Kedei Haka, Ad Kedei Klola, Ad Kedei Nizifa. If you look in Avnei Nezer, it's found in Simin Tav Samach Aleph of Yeridea. Avnei Nezer assumes as follows, that unless it's a case of shogeg, where it's clearly a lifneiver, that you're worsening that person's chet by informing him that this is wrong, then one is categorically obligated to give tochacha. One is obligated to do so. And that's exactly the shiurim of the Gemara, of kedei haka, kedei nezifa, kedei klala. Obviously the person is not going to listen to him. He's going to curse, he's going to hit you, and then listen to your admonition. It's obvious it's not having the desired impact, but nonetheless one is obligated to do so. And the only time we would assume that mitzvah al ha'adam shalo lomar davar shir nishma is that sugin beis and aflamid shogeg. A person is doing it b'shogeg. If he will listen to my words by informing him that this is usur, by all means. But if as a result he's going to do so now b'mezid, that's when we assume that mitzvah al ha'adam shalo lomar davar she'en nishma b'shogeg. Otherwise, a person is obligated categorically to respond. And what about the argument that the purpose of tochacha is to better the individual, to elevate him, to maintain, to change his ways? And that's not going to happen. I know this individual. He is not receptive. That Aven Ezer dismisses because lo darshinan taima degra. That's what the Aven Ezer writes. That already is tami hamitzvos. Tami hamitzvos. Why the Torah tells us a mitzvah of tochacha? And the answer is to better that individual, to see to it that he is more dedicated to the Torah Hashem. Lo darshinan taima degra, he writes. We passed like Rabbi Yud against the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and therefore categorical tochacha. That's what the Aven Ezer writes in Tav Samach Aleph. So unless it's that unusual exception of Shogeg versus Mezid, where you're making the situation worse, which is an Isser of Alif Neiver, then one is constantly obligated to give that type of tochacha, irrespective of the effectiveness of that which he is saying. Otherwise, the realm of Tamid Degra. Right, so he writes, Lachzir Lemutav is time of Dekra. In other words, he writes that that's the point that the Rambam is telling you. Why is it that you're obligated to do so? Because that is our attempt. But does that mean that the scope of the halach is limited to that circumstance? He writes that that is not true. How would one respond to that comment of Aven Ezer of Lo Darshin and time of Dekra? Here, I would suggest a couple of possibilities. One is the following. The Gemara describes the machlokas Rabbi Hinan and Rabbi Shimon whether darshin or non darshin in time of dekra, the sugin above metzia kuf tezvav. And kuf tezvav, the Gemara describes the following. The Torah tells us lo sach vol begin almana, one is not allowed to take a collateral from an almana. And the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, to which type of almana does this apply? Is this limited to an almana who is in aniya? Look, she's lost her husband. She's coming to you for funds. Obviously, she's impoverished. It's inappropriate to demand a mashkon from her. Or would one argue that this applies even to an almana who is an ashira? She's coming to you to buy and to sell, to invest. And she happens to be an almana. I'm not allowed to take a mashkon from her. That is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion as follows, that Almana ben Shi'aniya ben Shi'ashira ein memashkin enosa. Irrespective of her financial standing, you cannot insist on a mashkon from an Almana. And Rabbi Shimon, who maintains that no, darshin and time of dekra, the great chiddush, not time of dekra in terms of limud ha-Torah, time of dekra that we have a right to limit or expand the scope of the halacha based on the reason. That if the reason does not apply because she is an ashira, then the halacha doesn't apply. In other words, the whole issue, when do we assume on a level of derabanan, batal tam, batal takana, batal tam, lo batal takana? Right? The answer is going to be ke'in daraisa. What is the din daraisa? So when it comes to a din daraisa, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that darshinan time edekra. Rabbi disagrees. The Gemara asks the following kasha, and that Da'af Kuf Tesvav above Metzia, Rabbi Yehuda maintains lo darshin and time dekra, amana ben shenia ben shiashira ein menashkin enosa. What about the following? What about a melech marrying excessive wives? Many, many wives. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yisa, the melech can marry as many women as he desires, ubilvad shelo yehei misiro ses libo. As long as he makes sure that they are the type of individuals who will bring him closer to the Torah Hashem. The Pasuk says, lo yasul avavo. So therefore, see to it that he will marry many women who will not deter him from observance of the Torah Hashem. And therefore, there is no Isser. So that's the steer that the Gemara raises. When it comes to lo yarbil anoshim, all of a sudden, the Rabbi Yehuda says, darshin on time of dekra. And lo sach bo begin almana, lo darshin on time of dekra. How do you resolve that apparent stira? So the Gemara writes, a very obvious, but very important answer. You know what? When it comes to lo sach bo begin almana, the tam is not mefurish bekra. The Torah does not tell us the tam hakra. Lo sach bo begin almana. When it comes to lo yarbil anoshim, the posuk says, v'yosev avavo. In other words, that even Rabbi Yehuda, that is not Doresh time of Dekra, that is only in a circumstance when the Tam is not Mefurish Bekra. If the reason is given by the Torah, that means that the reason is part of the very fabric of the mitzvah or the Iser, and then everyone would agree, Darshinan Taim V'Dekra. That's an important Chiddush. When you have the Tam that is mentioned, Mefurish V'Kra, the Tam is considered to be an inherent part of, whether you're dealing with an Iser, as that's Sugin Bav Metzir, whether you're dealing with mitzvos. You know the comment of the Bach, for example, the very beginning of Chasukah, Tafrei Shchafei, you better have proper Kavana when it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah. Because the pasuk goes out of its way and tells us, "Leman yedu doroseichem kibesukos hashavti." If you are not going to have that in mind when you sit in the sukkah, the Bach writes, "You will not fulfill the mitzvah min hamuchar." The Bikur Yaakov writes, and that's Siman Tafresh Chafei. It's ma'akev b'di'eved. Even though normally speaking, why you're doing so, is not vital. Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana addresses the fact that through this act, I am fulfilling the Mitzvos Hashem. You'll ask me the why question, and why is it so important that you? Normally speaking, that enactment is certainly not likuvah when it comes to mitzvos. But what about Sukkah? An entire siman in Shulchan Aruch on the significance of Sukkah. The Torah's dilemma, why Sukkah is in this month and not during the spring? Why is all of that in Shulchan Aruch? The Bach writes, because the Tam is Mefurish Bekra. And therefore, Kiva Sukkah So Shafti, and that understanding is considered to be critical. And the Bach points out, you find this in two other places, in Simen Ches, when it comes to Tzitzis, and Simen Chafei, when it comes to Tefillin. In all three places, the Mechaber goes out of his way and describes the purpose of the mitzvah. And therefore, the Mechaber writes, you should have this in mind. When you're wearing tzitzis, you should have around Rishimo Sozchartem. When you have your tefillin, you should have in mind the very end of Parshas Bo of Lamantia Torah Seshem Beficha. Torah should be fluent with you. This is a remembrance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. All of that is the Tam HaMitzvah. Yeah, because that's exactly what the Torah tells us. Leman tia Torah Seshem Beficha. Leman tizkru vasisim. Leman yedu darosechem. If the Tam is Mefurish Bekra, that is considered to be essential. The Mishnah Berurah writes that that kavana is critical. The Mishnah Berurah does write in Siman Samach, Chachos Kriyashma, not Likuva. Likuva is mitzvah Srichos kavana. The kavana in terms of the Tam HaMitzvah, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, is a din lechatchila. Or a chlener paskins lahaloch, it's ma'akev, even b'di'evet, and that's why sholta ba'ena is so critical when it comes to sukkah, because the tam is mefurish b'kra. And this is true when it comes to many lavim as well as mitzvah sasei. A classic example of mitzvah sasei is that rush when it comes to ksiva sefer Torah, the lengthy dion in Shagasari, the menchas chinuch in the very last mitzvah, in mitzvah taryag. Why is it that we don't find people are writing Sifrei Torah Bizman Hazeh, a mitzvah daraisa, kisvela chemes ashira hazaz? So the answer that the Rush gives is because the pasuk continues. V'lamdos b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihem. The purpose of ksiva is to ensure, to facilitate limud. And since the Rush writes in his time, people were not learning from those handwritten Sifrei Torah, so therefore the focus of the mitzvah changed. The Shagasari discusses at length, the Minchas Chinuch, that astounding Chiddush of the Rush. One thing is clear, that the Rush's assumption is based on the fact that the Tam is Mefurish Bekra. If the Pasuk would not say the Tam HaMitzvah, one would never argue that that is the case, but if the Tam is Mefurish Bekra, so therefore that is something that the Rush argues can allow us to limit or expand the scope, the Hagdara HaMitzvah, based on the very Tam. What's always critical is to know, when is the Tam Mefurish Bekra, when is the Tam not Mefurish Bekra. When it comes to a mitzvah, we look in Chumash. You know, when it comes to Dinim Derabanan, that's Sugin Beitz and Afayamad Aleph, that's always much more difficult. Because every Din Derabanan obviously had a Tam for the Takana, for the Gzeira, but it's sometimes difficult to know. When is the Tam incorporated into? Is it Mefurish, so to speak? If I were able to be there, I would see that Chazal incorporated the Tam into the very enactment of the Takan or Gzera. Or when do you argue, no, the Tam is what motivated the Chachamim, but It was independently enacted. And that's Tosus's diyun. When do you assume batal tam, batal takana? When do you assume batal tam, lo batal ha-takana? In dinim d'rabanan, that's something which is not always so easy to be able to determine. When are the klalim, in terms of dinim d'rabanan, where you assume batal tam, batal takana? There is a comment that the Mishkanus Yaakov writes, it's in a separate sefer he has called Koheles Yaakov, where he writes the following interesting chiddush. That, I'll give you one example, he writes. Whenever something is an akiras davar min haTorah, an akiras davar min haTorah, so normally speaking, the Chachamim would never go ahead and enact such a gzeira takanadran. It's black and white again the mitzvah satorah. Why are they doing so? The sugni of Amos Natsayim Adveiz, Yesh Koach B'yad Chachamim. The Chachamim realize, Chalal Shabbos Achas, Kishishmar Shabbos Asarbe. The Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Hilchos Mamrim, sometimes, Kishem Shaharofe Choteich Ever Echad, Nachmana Litzlan, sometimes you have to amputate to save the body. Chazal sometimes will engage in Akiras Darv Min HaTorah. Shemishkin Siakov writes a beautiful Chiddush that whenever it comes to Akiras Darv Min HaTorah, there the Tam must be Mufurish. The Tam must be part of the very enactment itself. It's not a categorical, right, koach. You'll ask a doctor, and what is your profession? What do you do? The doctor will answer amputation. Sometimes it's necessary. And Akiras Darv Min HaTorah. But there, the reason must be compelling. And the Mishkanus Yaakov has beautiful rayas. It's found in the very beginning of Hilchos Tzitzis, by Tshuvas HaRosh and Simin Tes, where the Rosh was very surprised that he saw that there were people putting tzitzis on a linen garment. They used to wear a linen garment. They used to put linen tzitzis. And the Rosh writes, he was so surprised because it's against the Gemara Yevamos that said in the base of Sadin B'tzitzis, that the Gemara is mefurish, that even though midaraisa, a beged of pishtan is chayiv min haTorah in tzitzis, Akira Sarvan Atacham said, do not put any tzitzis on that beged. Because you know that people are going to fix tcheles, thinking they have tcheles, and tcheles must be wool, and having wool tzitzis on a beged of pishtan is an isser of shatnez. In order to avoid any concern of shatnez, do not put any tzitzis whatsoever on a linen beged. The Rosh writes, he was shocked that he saw all of a sudden people were wearing linen begadim with linen tzitzis. The Rosh writes, it must be exactly this point. The Rama quotes this Rosh in Simin Ches, Nilchus Tzitzis. The Rama quotes this Rosh, this Tshuvas HaRosh in Simin Tes, where the Rosh writes, this was an Akiras Darv Min HaTorah. And the Rosh writes, the concern of Chazal was not applicable in their time. People were not peddling tcheles. They didn't think they had tcheles. They weren't putting wool tzitzis on their linen garment. And therefore, he writes, then you should go back to the Shuras Hadin of wearing tzitzis on a linen garment. And what about batal tam, lo batal hatakana? That's what the Mishkanus Yaakov writes, not when it comes to a case of a low plug. It's a fascinating application. But for us, if something is mefurish bekra, everyone agrees, darshinan taima dekra. So if that's the case, what about when it comes to the mitzvah of tochacha? The Torah does tell us that hocheach tochiach es hamisecha, but then the pasuk continues and tells us v'lo sisa lav chet. What exactly is the hemshech hakra? What exactly does that mean? Even if you look at the mefarshei Tanakh, you find a very fundamental machlokes. The way Rashi interprets the sefer dekra is something which is somewhat different. The Sefer Dekra means as follows, that you're obligated to give tochacha, but lo sislav chet means give tochacha in a manner that is not going to cause unnecessary embarrassment to the individual. So yes, you have to give tochacha, but do so cautiously, cautiously. That, according to Rashi, lo sislav chet is not addressing the essence, the nature, the purpose, the tam ha-mitzvah, tochacha. But if you look in the Ramban writes quite differently. That, hocheach tochiach, why? Why is it so important to give tochacha? What will I accomplish by giving appropriate tochacha? And that's how the Ramban understands the hemshech hakra, lo sislav chet. As a result of your giving tochacha, the person is going to mend his ways. He's no longer continued to do so. And therefore, when you give tochacha, you are doing the appropriate thing. And failure to give tochacha, that is in a nesias chet. Because the person is going to continue his practice. In a word, the way the Ramban understands the Sefer Dekra, I would add tochacha to the list of a mitzvah, where the tam ha-mitzvah is mefurish b'kra, and then you assume darshinan tam ha-dekra. So that's one possibility. If that's what the pasuk means, The Tam is Mefurish Bakra. Everyone agrees Darshin and Tam Dikra. But let's assume, like Rashi Shita, you would argue that Tam is not Mefurish Bakra. Here I would give you the following Maramakom. There is a Shita Mekubetzes, Bav Metzia Dav Tzadi, quoting the Tosas HaRash. Here the Rash writes the following. The Torah tells us that there's an Isser of Losachsom Shorbedishim. This animal is plowing for you. You're not allowed to muzzle that animal. You have to give the animal free rein to be able to go ahead and to do so. The Ravid writes in Bava Metzia and Daf Lamed Beis, that's the makor of Tzar Balei Chaim. Losachsom Shorbedishim. There's no posuk for Tzar Balei Chaim, but the makor of Tzar Balei Chaim, the Ravid writes, is this Rav Chasima. Losachsom Shorbedishim. It's fascinating. The Gemara writes, Tzar Balei Chaim Daraisa. Furisha Gemara, Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Beis. And what is the makar? The Gemara never mentions any makar for Tzar Balei Chaim. There are at least 11 shitas in Rishonim and Ach. What is the makar of Tzar Balei Chaim? The Ravid writes, it's that pasuk of Lo Sachsom Shor Bedisha. What about the following case? This is what the Gemara deals with, the Rambam Paskins and Perikid Gimel of Hilchos Chirus. My animal is plowing. And if my animal will eat from this crop, the animal is going to get very sick. This crop is detrimental to the animal. So what would you tell the farmer? There's an Isser Chasim, right? You're not allowed to muzzle the animal. You have to allow the animal to go ahead and to walk and to eat and get sick. So the Gemara writes, the Safek, the Rambam Paskins, Perikid Gimel Hilchos Chirus, right? Absolutely not. The Rambam writes, the whole purpose of this Rav Chasim is for the betterment of the animal. And if it is obvious to us that it is better for the animal to be muzzled than to graze and to become ill, so obviously, there's no Isra Chasima. That's what the Rambam writes. That's our Psak Halacha. There's no Isra Vosafsum Shabbatisho. So if you look in Tosfos HaRosh, there in Shita Mekubetzes, what do you mean? Time of the crowd? Darshin and time? The Torah doesn't tell us anything. The Torah just says, Lo Safsum Shabbatisho. It doesn't tell us why and when exactly. What right do you have to say, as the Maskana Sagamara, as the Rambam writes? So you know what the Tosfos HaRosh writes? Because it is obvious. It's obvious. That's what Tosfos HaRosh writes. It's obvious. You know, sometimes the Torah has to tell you the Tamei HaMitzvah because maybe it's somewhat ambiguous. Maybe it's not so clear. Maybe when it comes to Lo Yarblo Nashim, maybe one could envision that even without Bo Yosel Avavo, maybe that's just inappropriate for a melech to have many, many wives. So it's necessary for the Torah to tell you the Tamei HaKra. The Rosh writes, Shitun Gubetzes, Bo Metzia, Daf Tzadi, if it's clear what the Tamei HaKra is, we have a right to be Dorish Tamei HaKra, even if the Tamei is not Mefurish Bakra. As long as it's obvious. Anything that's Mefurish Bakra, obviously, the Tam is known. But if it's something that we know, so therefore, Darshin and Tam Dikra. Maybe one could argue that's true when it comes to Tochacha as well. The Rambam reiterates. Rabbi Union mentioned, the Rambam writes, what is the purpose of Tochacha? What is the purpose of Tochacha? The Rambam writes, Lahachzira Lamutad. You know what, if I were to ask the Rambam, and what's your makar? I think the Rambam would respond to us and say, what's the makar? Isn't it obvious that that's the purpose of Tochacha? Isn't it so clear that Hocheach Tochiach is done in such a caring way? And the reason Mutiv Sheshogin Valyum Yezidin is all based on the assumption that Lahachzira Lamutad. And if that is true, maybe this is not an example of Lo Darshin in Taima Dekra at all. And therefore, no doubt, one has a right to assume that even if the words will, if they will register, yes, but if they will not, not necessarily do we assume that there's a categorical mitzvah of Tochacha at all. In fact, if you look, for example, in the Ritva, and that's Sugin Yevamos and Daf Samachay, the Ritva raises this exact kasha. When do you assume that mitzvah l'adam shelo lomar davar hanishmeno nishma? And when do you assume ad kedei haka, ad kedei nezifa? The Ritva writes, in this distinction the Rama quotes in Tafresh Ches Lahalacha, there is a difference between a yachid versus a tzibur, a yachid versus a rabbin. The way that you give tochacha individually is quite different. And the Ritva writes that that sugya of ad kedei haka, ad kedei nezifa, that mitzvah of tochach is only when it comes to a yachid. but not when you're dealing with the tzibur. Not when you're dealing with the tzibur. There we don't assume that a person is obligated to, right, even if, right, it will elicit that type of response. There at times we assume, even if something is memezid, that mitzvah al ha'adam shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma. That's the difference the Ritva writes between a yachid versus the rabbin. Perhaps one could suggest as follows. What exactly is its hagdara, that difference in yachid and rabbin? Maybe one could suggest as follows, that maybe the mitzvah of tachacha according to the Ritva applies categorically, ad kedei haka, ad kedei nezifa, but the mitzvah of tachacha, hocheach tochiach es amisecha, is only yachid, one-on-one, yachid, dealing with an individual, not necessarily dealing with the entire rabbim as a whole. If that's true, so why is it that I would ever give divrei tochacha to the tzibur, to the kehila, to the rabbim? The answer is, even aside from the technical mitzvah of tochacha, isn't there a concept of avos? That if I am able, I am empowered, I can be persuasive, I can change their ways, then of course, one is obligated to do so. But if you know that the words will not have that desired effect, if it's a davar she'eino nishma, so therefore that element would not apply. To a yachid, the Ritva seems to assume the chovas ha'tochacha requires ad kedei haka. Then there's a third approach. This is found in the Shita Mekubetzes and Bava Metzia and Daf Lamed Aleph in the name of the Ramach. I didn't fully understand this until, you know, you become a Rav of a shul, then you realize this Ramach. You look in the Ramach, this is also quoted in Chida, in the Machzik Bracha, and Siman Tav Reish Ches. The Ramach writes, he doesn't see a stira. He doesn't see a stira in these two Gemaras. You know, you give a drasha, and there's no response. No response. You didn't hit a chord. No response. Everyone just walks out. You're off the mark. You're off the mark. You know, you give a drasha and it elicits an adamant response. You know, Balabas all of a sudden takes issue. And he gets, you know you've hit a chord. You know you've hit a chord. No? The Ramach writes, what's the stira between Ad Kedei Haka and Ad Kedei Nezifa and the Gemara Yavamos of Shlomo Darashin and Ishma? When you all of a sudden give tochacha to a person, all of a sudden you see that he's adamant and he's responding and he's engaging with you, that's a davar hanishma. It doesn't mean that he's going to change his weight tomorrow. That's not going to happen. But davar hanishma does not have to be something which is so immediate. The worst thing in the world is when beautiful drasha and all the tzibur leaves. Now, when they engage and they inquire, they challenge, that's an indicator this, in fact, is considered to be a davar hanishma. Intuitively, it sounds right. But the Ramach writes, there's no stira. That's what's quoted, and again, by the Chida in the name of the Ravid, when they're combative, and they respond, and you've hit a chord, and they're willing to engage with you. How can you argue that's a davar she'eino nishma? That's an important part of our obligation as well. There's no doubt we have at our disposal, and the choice of what to discuss with our balabatim, the choice of what issues to raise, is something which is critical. After all, we want to raise the bar. You want to obviously raise their consciousness to things that they are not fully in tune with, but also to balance with the shogeg, the mezid. It's always important to have a good read on the kehila to know what is considered to be, right, a legitimate challenge, what perhaps is not for now, but nonetheless something that later one would raise, and realize that if one evokes that type of response, it doesn't mean in any sense that the words were not listened to, but somehow that's considered to be that which is critical. The essence of tochacha, I think as the pasuk continues, hocheach tochiach es amisecha, even the bir halacha in Tafrei Shches stresses la halacha, that term amisecha, amitcha b'mitzvos. It means that there's a certain sense of commonality, a certain relationship that one has. I think we all know the effectiveness of our tochacha very often is a function of not only how it is said, but the relationship that we have with those who we are being mochiach. The fact that Yamin is mikareves and small dachka, the fact that it is so clear to those who are speaking to that it's done with an earnest sense of arvus and avas Yisrael, that's something no doubt that is paramount. If it's done in a derisive fashion, then the chance of our words being effective is quite slim. If it's done with an earnest sense of passion and commitment, with a sense of real arvus, arvus, the Ritva writes, literally means kol Yisrael guf echadim. Everyone is considered to be a single unit, a single entity. And when that empathy is expressed, that no doubt that's something that registers and that can enhance the impact of our tochacha. You know, there's an amazing comment of Shita Mekubetzes. We have a Tosfos Menachos, Daf Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph. Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph. Tosfos writes that Shlomo HaMelech Chacham Mikol Adam was faced with a difficult dinter. A father died, and the Yorshim were coming. They wanted to divide up the Yerusha. And one son all of a sudden walks in. Tosfos writes, Menachos Lamed Zayin, a Siamese twin. Siamese twin. Two heads, one body. The Siamese twin demanded Pishnayim, and he's entitled to two Chalakim. And other brothers responded and said, no, you're one brother, you're only entitled to one Shem. So Shlomo HaMelech had to determine, no, is this considered to be, right, one individual, two individuals? Tosus writes, the Psak of Shlomo HaMelech was Gufechad, a single body. That's Tosus, a single body. And therefore only entitled to Pichad, not entitled to Pishnayim. How did Shlomo HaMelech know that this was true? Not so obvious. So on the daf, in Menachos Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, on the daf is the Shita Mekubetzes. Shita Mekubetzes writes the following. Shlomo HaMelech did this. He took a sack, and he put it over one of the heads, and he took hot water, and poured it on the other head, and Shlomo HaMelech listened to see who would respond, who would scream in the pain. So, kachava, he poured that water over head one, and the covered head yelled out in pain, the anguish. Shlomach paskin the gufechad. That was his measure. That's what Shita Mekubetzes writes. That's the gufechad. And the head may have been concealed. When one can express that sense of empathy, to be able to cry when another person experiences pain, and to celebrate with them moment of their joy, that the Shita Mekubetzes writes was Shlomo HaMelech's indicator of guf echad as opposed to shnei gufim. It's a fascinating chiddush. The Shita Mekubetzes writes that was the test of Shlomo HaMelech. It's an important musar haskil. The effectiveness of tochacha is largely predicated on that sense of our ability to be able to transmit to others that earnest sense of arvus, the sense of kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh, the belief that everyone is considered to be guf echad, and out of a sincere sense of amisecha, to be able to convey proper tochacha. And no doubt, to be able to sometimes teach, not merely by instruction, but able to teach simply by our example. Sometimes the example of the manhigim, that is the best form of tochacha. Sometimes little said, but rather what it is that we do, what it is that we stand for. There's a beautiful comment the Chizkuni has in Parshas Balosha, where the Chizkuni writes that, you know, initially the Bechor was the one who was destined to do avoda. And somehow it seems quite reasonable for us, after all, it's a Bechor, so at least every mishpacha will have a representative in the Mikdash Hashem doing avoda. And certainly that was not to happen, but rather it was the Shevet system. So Chizkuni writes in Balosha, what was the advantage of the Shevet system that the Bechor did not have? And that's exactly the answer that Chizkuni writes. That we are obligated to model, to teach the Torah Hashem by example, not simply by instruction. Imagine it's a Bechor. You have a child who's a Bechor, but his father is not a Bechor. The child is obligated to do avod in the Mikdash Hashem, but he cannot learn from the example of his father. And he turns to his father and says, teach me, and the father has to respond that, I can instruct you, but this is something you have to see, you have to witness, you have to glean from someone else? Or imagine the father is a bachor and the son is not, and the father enthusiastically is off to avoda, leaving the child behind. The Chizkuni writes, the Shevet system ensures, like father, like son, that one can glean the mitzvah Hashem by that example, not simply by mere instruction alone. It's an important element of perhaps the most powerful tochacha, right, that we can impart. By, as the Rambam writes in Perakei Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, when the Rambam describes Kiddush Hashem and Nichil Hashem, by living that type of life, that exhibits that constancy of Kiddushim Shamayim, that perhaps will have the greatest impact of Hocheach Tocheaches Amisecha. So aside from the technical parameter, the Hagdoras HaMitzvah in that particular sense, right, what applies B'Shogeg, what applies B'Meizid, the overall pervasive sense and appreciation of the Arvus of Knesset Yisrael. And if that is sincerely seen by those who we address, that allows us to be so much more effective in terms of our avodas mekodesh. Bezras Hashem, we should be zoche to be able to continue to have that type of lahashpa, to realize the pitfalls of lifnei velosite mikshol, and to effectively exercise the rights that we have of tochacha. And even if at times we can be discouraged, that, you know, this seems like a davar she'eino nishma, realize sometimes exactly that which we receive the reaction of haka in nazifa in klala, maybe that's an indication sometimes to us that we've hit a chord, that with the proper sensitivity, it's something that we can take advantage of to affect the lives of those who are entrusted to us.
Right.
I think it's very true. I think that I think is part of that particular balance. If I think according to that shita that I described at the end, I think that's very relevant. That sometimes Ad Kedei Mei Hapamim emphasizes that point, that Davar Nishma and Eino Nishma is not always understood immediately. It means planting seeds and constantly going ahead and doing so over and over and over again. If a person, let's say, is doing so bemazed, one should not necessarily assume that they should be written off, and therefore our words of Tochacha will not have any impact at all. The noted exception to Mei Hapamim is mentioned, Shogeg as opposed to cases of Mezid, but otherwise, sometimes even the constancy and the consistency of our concern, and sometimes the consistency of our objection, right, that can influence. I think we can probably all look to cases where somehow, for some reason, the fifth or sixth or seventh time we gave that drasha, it impacted in ways that it quite didn't, right, the first time that that it in fact was heard. So I think it's true. The other possibly is Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer writes, we're being moche mishum kvod shamayim, and therefore one should be ceaseless in doing so. Every time a person experiences, you should let it be known that this is something which is that way. But even without the kvod shamayim, I think that can be understood. Yep. Yeah, right. There is such a, right, such the Bihalach and Tafresh Ches, he quotes Perkad Rabbi Lazar, right, that Amisecha means like Amitcha b'mitzvos, and maybe right, if you're dealing with an individual where, again, absolutely Dino Kamumar, maybe that does not apply. Correct, yes.
Could you explain the balance that needs to be made with three different halachos?
Right.
The Rabbi needs to have all the tools
Right.
And, you know, how it makes I'm saying if there is a case where you really are concerned, something that is, I myself at least have been struggling with, you know, when you talk to a tzibur, not everybody is the same. I always sort of look at the majority, the world. I thought that's what you see in most halachos, you go by the world. If it's the world, you know, Shunishma. Mm-hmm. And another person told me, no, when it comes to Tzibu, you cannot sacrifice one, even 400. If that was the case, I would have never written it, etc.
Right. In principle, I think the Taina is true, and that is Tosus writes when it comes to a Dover Choshuv, you don't follow Rov. So there is a Ramban that writes Bali Chayim Eino Betelim. There is such a Ramban. Bal Chay is not subject to Bittel. It's an important lamdus in terms of that's true. Maybe that's the classic example of what we call a Dover Shevaminyan. Dover Shevaminyan is not Batel, right? We speak about that commodities that are considered to be that which is a davar choshev. It's an interesting issue. In principle, I think that definitely is true. Right. In principle, right. Right. So in principle, I think that certainly is true. The question really is in practice. The difficulty is when you have a kehila, I think it's important to know what the challenge of the kehila is facing and what is appropriate divrei tochacha and divrei musar. I would question the one who, for example, advised you in that way. Did it really mean that when you get up Shabbos morning and you're speaking, you really have to look at, and if you see there's a single guest who is coming from, let's say, a different walk of life, or he really is a shogeg, does it really mean that the entire subject matter that is relevant to all of your kehila would now be off limits because of that individual who has walked in? So I'm not sure if in principle it certainly is true that, you know, we don't assume that the miut is batal barov, and the concerns of each individual has to carefully be met. But I think, you know, as a rav or as a manhig, we all have a right to raise issues of consciousness, even if there might be yechidim, part of the tzibur, who are not necessarily right at that point. I think how you do it and how you couch it and how it's presented, that I think is something which is critical. Right. Right. I understand. Right. Sarah, what did you?
What?
Right. In terms of tzibur, practically speaking, I think that, the Hagdara sounds very reasonable.
Right. Any further questions?
Is there a muster there, here, of the concept of being meicha just for your own personal sense, that it shouldn't have ashbog, and if you see something that is being done, just ignoring, it's like the kvod shemayim aspect that you mentioned, that the observing that act should not have a negative effect.
Right. No,
I think, in your result.
Right. No, I think that's a very legitimate concern as well. Again, but that, again, how that would mean individually, privately, a person can make note of the fact that this is something which cannot. Very often we can find ourselves in that situation. The family can be exposed to a practice that we see as something that is not consistent with our beliefs, even if short of being mochiach the bal aveira, so to speak, but certainly within, to indicate that this is not our ashkafa, this is not our practice, that's what we do. I think that I think it's more than appropriate. Yeah. Yes, sir.
There's no other one saying that those who were standing years ago by the Bar-Ilan and screaming Kaddish to the drivers, they're really not doing it.
It's interesting. I mean, I mentioned the Shulchan Aruch writes if something is absolutely mufurish b'kra, there's no motiv sheshogin v'ayuhu mezidin. But that Darkei Moshe writes, again, you have to really assess whether the people are shogeg, whether they're mezid. And again, it involves these issues. Is that the most effective way of reaching these individuals? Is it so obvious that even if you know it's absolutely counterproductive in a brid sinna? We mentioned that tshuva that Rav Shlomo Zalman had in Siman Lamed Hey, that promoting Avas Yisrael is a reason to feed someone food without a bracha, even though, right, that's his possibility, no? Because that aver is far worse than. It creates a certain sense of balance that we always have to figure and always play into our calculation that the result of avas Yisrael or sinas Yisrael is something which is very significant. Hard to imagine that that response evoked.
Kobin published a letter from Rabbi Yoshev many years ago that addressed your question from a different angle. The question was, do we have the right to make a Haggadah when we know it's going to lead to kill Shabbos by the police? So on the Lifnei Iver aspect, he answered with a tshuva from Rabbi Yeshua Leib-Diskin that it's not a problem with Lifnei Iver. But on the Etzem thing, he says, I don't understand your Shaila. Do you think we're making a Haggadah on Shabbos in order to stop people from killing Shabbos? The reason we're making a Haggadah is because if we don't, we'll tishoyer on the sword and play to be Kedushas of Shabbos. Sometimes the Tochot, in that case, that's not because of the within, mitzvah right. Tochot, is to protect ourselves, as was being asked.
What I was asking was sitting there in the Chazunish, that they're making the Mezidim. Is that making the Mezidim?
Probably depend on, right, depending on the circumstance, right? In the case of the Chaznish, for sure. Yeah. Very good.
Thank you again.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you on both sides for joining us. If there's a minyan for Mincha, we'll make Mincha now. The Gusaf will be determined by who stays.
If you assume it's pretty, then one could argue it's an extension of the mitzvah for Pachim Mitzvah, and then
it's a Charlotte mouth. It was a bit of a compromise. This case was there was a place to be taken here. I'm assuming that even though it's Moshe said, let's wait for the plane to take off, it's only 3 months to the airport. I mean, if the people weren't at the airport, they're closed their plane.
Correct.
So the alibi stays at home. So I'm wondering if the children.
So who's staying at home?
The alibi.
And who's staying? The mother's staying at home. That's a question.
Yes. Yeah, but let's talk about that.
Right.
Okay.